back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, reunited with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going? Thank you for filling in last week and doing a solo pod.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just going to pat myself on the back for doing that. I'm just kidding.
Golf clap.
I missed you, but I knew you were celebrating your birthday. I hope to celebrate on Saturday by getting some, Japanese hot pot?
Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue, and then, having a few responsible drinks at the bar afterwards. So
however, I definitely think I was not responsible.
It's your birthday. You don't have to be responsible on your birthday. But no, it was a great night with everyone, and, just happy to take the helm for you, and I know you'd do the same for me. But we're back, and we have a lot to talk about, but also not a lot. So I think we're, if you weren't with us last week, obviously I whittled down the playoff picture at that point. There were still 8 teams in the mix. Now there's only 4, and we are on the eve of the conference finals beginning. So we're down to the final 4 here to vie for the Stanley Cup. 2 teams of which have never won a cup in their organizational history. So a lot of crazy storylines coming out of these playoffs so far. And, they'll continue to be that way until the cup is raised and even after that. So
yeah, and the other 2 teams haven't won a championship in almost or over 20 years. So. Yep. It's a lot of newer markets, the kind of the old school traditional hockey markets have been eliminated from the postseason.
Yeah, and I will say this. I think it's kind of, I don't know if tough is the right word, but it's a very unusual pair of matchups that we have at this point because, if you're not a diehard hockey fan like we are, you might be thinking to yourself, why the hell am I watching Florida play Carolina? Or Las Vegas played Dallas, and it's like, well, that's the playoffs for you. It's anyone's game when you make the postseason. Each team has gotten to where they were, deservedly so. They might not be the best TV matchup, so to speak, but I still think, with ESPN and TNT, especially with TNT having the Stanley Cup final this year, it's going to be a hell of a production, and you're going to want to tune into this, and, we're going to do our best to break it down here, and you'd be remiss if you didn't watch every single game of each of these series because each team, like I said, has gotten to where they are now because of that special something, so to speak. And, it can get even more special if they make it to the cup final. And, we're going to have a new champion, obviously, with the Colorado Avalanche getting bounced in the first round.
And thus destroying everyone's brackets.
Yeah. More people probably had Boston winning the cup than the Colorado. Yeah. So, but I believe there are, there's only 12 brackets out of the millions that were made up for the NHL's bracket challenge that predicted these 4 teams making it to the conference finals.
Really? Just 12 people?
I believe so, yeah. I think I saw that on Instagram the other day.
That's crazy.
So there's 12 people out there that
are geniuses.
Yeah. About a month ago or so, they would have been laughed at.
100%.
And gotten called insane and, everything. Maybe like, hey, you should be committed. but no, now they, hindsight's 2020, but still, these people, they rolled the dice and made some bold predictions, but they're not so bold now because they came true in a good way, even more bold, I guess. So, 12 brackets out of, obviously, millions of people that did that. It's just insane. But We'll get there in a few minutes, but Dave, as I touched on last week, just for a little bit, we can go into more depth now that the situation has unfolded more. If you didn't know that the Flyers have the faces of their front office for the foreseeable future, we hope, with Daniel Briere being named the actual general manager, having the interim tag removed, and then kind of a surprise hire for a lot of people, like I said, but Keith Jones being named the president of hockey ops, or POHO as the acronym, P-O-H-O, so the POHO, is, you know, Keith Jones is now our POHO. That sounds weird, but, you know, it's president of hockey operations, P-O-H-O.
Yeah, I would just send it down to president of hockey ops.
We're using acronyms here. It's a POHO.
I don't know how I feel about POHO.
It says it on the Flyers website. It says P-O-H-O, POHO.
Oh, all right. Well, then I guess it's legitimate.
I'm just being accurate to the type here. You can say P-O-H-O, but, I mean, POHO, like... It's like the old brand Coho.
I was just thinking that it's like just like Coho, which became which got absolved by CCM.
So, but yeah, the POHO, Keith Jones, and the general manager, Daniel Briere, they had their introductory press conference on Friday, about 5 days ago, about a week ago now. And you know, there's just we have the article from Bill Meltzer here from the Flyers website about, you know, key takeaways. What's up?
The other attendees at the press conference, of course, were Flyers head coach John Tortorella, Dan Helferty, who is the Comcast Spectrum Corp chairman, CEO, and governor of the Flyers, and then everyone's favorite Valerie Camillo, who's president and CEO of Spectrum Corp Sports Entertainment and alternate governor. So they were all there.
Yeah. But, I mean, Dave, I'll let you take it away here if you want to just kind of, you know, touch on one of the five things here or touch on some of your own thoughts. I mean, obviously, we haven't gotten to talk about this together ever since it did happen. So, you know, maybe just a short soliloquy of what you're thinking about these hires and, you know, where you think that this new regime, as they're calling it, the new era of orange and black.
A new era of orange.
Is, you know, what they mean, what they can do, and kind of, again, how they can, now that the, we hope that the Avengers have been assembled, so to speak, with, you know, a new head of Comcast, Spectacor, Val Camillo, she's not really new, but anyway, Tortorella, Briere, and Jones, I mean, we have our team, so to speak, and now, you know, all that's left is to see what the team does, but you know, it's way too early to make anything predictions hockey wise because, you know, the season technically is still going on, even though it's the postseason. But, you know, just again, like I said, a short soliloquy of your thoughts surrounding the hires, surrounding anything you're feeling, thinking, you know, just take it away.
Yeah, I get the sense that I like how they're all like aboard as a team. And I don't get the sense of there'll be a lot of he said, she said that happened with Ron Hextall and parts of Chuck Fletcher. I feel like these are the people who will be making the decisions and you're hopefully the external voices of the collective, you know, Paul Holmgren's, Bobby Clark's, Bill Barber's, etc. They will no longer be taken seriously because they're dinosaurs of hockey. Love what they did for the franchise in their moments. But their opinions on hockey are no longer relevant. So it's time for them to move to the backside and for this new group to take the helm and lead this hockey team into the, you know, the modern day civilization, per se. I was surprised about Keith Jones getting the hire as the president of hockey ops. I can't say POHO, I'm sorry. It really was shocking. When I heard that it was down to between him and Eddie Olczyk, I was like, really? Two TV guys? But then I remembered that Eddie Olczyk has actually had experience of being in a front office and was actually the GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins for a good chunk of time. And I think even head coach at one point, too. But no, I mean, Keith Jones, he's been around the game for a long time. He was on the Flyers for almost a decade. He's been in TV ever since he retired, over 20 years. The man knows what he's talking about. And he definitely knows, he's been around the game. He's watched the game at a high level, being, you know, a studio analyst for NBC and now being in between the glass for TNT. You know, he sees what the game has become. And I feel like he has good, you know, a good sense of where the game's going. And at the end of the day, one of the things that I do like about Briere and about Keith Jones is that they are Flyers through and through. I mean, Danny Briere is one of my all-time favorite Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, my Mount Rushmore of Flyers is Lindros, Giroux, Briere, Gagne, and then...
Isn't it only four?
It's four, so there's my route. There you go. There's my Mount Rushmore.
I'm pretty sure Mount Rushmore is only four things.
Yeah. So for some reason I thought it was five, but it's four. Yeah. So Brenna just told me I need to learn to count. Numbers are hard. Okay. Cut me some slack. But no, I mean Lindros, Briere, Giroux, and Gagne are my top four all time favorite Philadelphia Flyers. So I really like this. Briere has been groomed. I mean, he's essentially been groomed for the role ever since retiring. You know, he got hired by Compact Spectre Corps to learn how to become a general manager. They sent him to business school. He ran the Maine Mariners of the East Coast Hockey League, which Comcast Spectacore owns, even though they're affiliated with the Rangers, or at least were. I think they're now affiliated with the Bruins. I'm not sure. But he did that for a while before he was named the Dwight Schrute to Chuck Fletcher. So, you know, I feel like just it's... Finally, I feel like this is a collective of people along with John Tortorella, that they will help rebrand this organization and bring it back into hockey relevance. It stinks that we didn't have any draft lottery luck this year, but also it also maybe is a good thing because they couldn't move down. So they're picking at seven. I think there's finally, there's a picture ahead. We know where we're going. We're rebuilding. Like that, it's clear. They've said it. They said it's going to take a while. Briere said it. Keith Jones has said it. I liked a lot of things I heard Keith Jones say on Frank Saravalli's podcast, where he says, listen, we need to have an elite back end, a good, strong defensive core, along with great goaltending. And then you build outwards. You know, it's kind of building that V formation goalie defense forwards, you know, in the role of importance. No, I'm excited that there's finally a goddamn plan. Because for years, we've been stuck in hockey limbo. Hockey purgatory. Like, what the hell are the Philadelphia Flyers doing? Are they going for it? Are they in win-now mode? Or are they sucking and picking high in the draft and kind of going nowhere with it? So, I like the message they put out. It was kind of the equivalent to the Rangers letter that they sent to season ticket holders. It was like, hey, listen, this is going to be a while. Be patient. And to fellow Flyers fans, don't expect what happened to the Rangers happened to us, because they got very lucky. They had great draft lottery odds. You know, they were handed Panarin. They were handed Adam Fox. Like, those things don't happen often. Would it be great if it happened to the Flyers and like 3 years we were competing again? Yes. It would be awesome. Mm-hmm. But realistically, those things don't happen a lot of times. But I know there is some concern. I've talked to some coworkers about this, where they just feel like this is an appeasement move, and they think that this will just fall on the asses and make the Flyers look bad. I really think at this point, Comcast Spectacor knows that they're in hot water with the fan base, and maybe even possibly the NHL. The NHL does better when the Flyers are a better team. So the fact that the Flyers are rebuilding and stinking, it's going to hurt the league overall. Not as bad as, you know, the Arizona Coyotes hurt the league. excuse me, guy, frog on my throat. But, you know, it's going to take a minute. So I'm excited. I like where this is going, potentially. These are smart people who know what they're doing, as long as they don't listen to outside voices. And I'm eager to get it going. You know, they've got a big – this summer is very, very important. Danny Briere has a tough job ahead of him right now. He has a lot of pieces to move to get this rebuild going, but the Flyers do have a lot of pieces where if they move them, you should get some decent return back. So let's get forward with this, and I'm looking forward to this new era of Orange.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I think just from the press conference alone and that message that was sent out on Instagram and social media, bless you. I know you're sneezing and trying to keep it silent.
I muted my microphone, so we're good.
That's all right. But no, I think that the message was like, you know, a mixture of like, hell yeah, let's do this, let's get going, all that type of stuff. But then it was also that LeBron James clip from the NBA Finals when he was like, it's about damn time. Like, it's about damn time. I guess you could also say that for the Lizzo song as well. But, I mean, this is just like, it's exciting because, you know, there's always a sense of fear with something new, whether it's something like this or something in your personal life. Anything new can be scary, but, you know, it can also bring a lot of positive with it, where if you, you know, sometimes embracing the unknown is the best thing that you can do in the current situation that you're in. And I think that's what the Flyers are in right now, where, you know, it's unknown about what's going to happen here up until the draft, which is a little over a month away, give it like 6-7 weeks. I think it's the 27th and 28th of June. I believe it's in Nashville. I said that last week. But no, I mean,
I'll confirm for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wednesday, the 28th.
Is that the first round and second round?
Second round's Thursday, the 29th.
Oh, all right. 28, 29. Gotcha. But yeah, I mean, even from the press conference on Friday, you know, just to like run through some quotes here from like all five of the guys, or all five of the people, I'm sorry.
There is one lady.
I know. My apologies, ma'am. But, you know,
that woman helped me get engaged at the Wells Fargo Center, pulling some strings.
There you go.
Fun fact, my father, Brenna's dad, my father-in-law, one of his ex-bosses is Valerie Camillo's husband. And name dropping him, I'm forgetting his name though, I guess Mr. Camillo, unless he has a different last name than Valerie. We name dropping that helped me do what I did to propose to my wife. So
humble brag.
Not a big deal.
Hey, it's about who you know, not what you know sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
There you go. But, you know, like I said, Dan Hilferty saying we all come into any endeavor with certain gifts and talents. Hockey is hockey. It's about both sides. Hockey ops and the business side understanding each other. Keith Jones, the Poho, there we go, saying, we will get it right together. This is not my team. It's our team. Tortorella saying, you know, we'll have arguments along the way, but that's a good thing in the bigger picture. Sometimes it'll be all five of us in the room. Sometimes we'll tell Dan and Val to leave the room and we'll work it out. And then Briere added to that saying, quote, I don't want yes men or women. I want people with their own opinions and ideas.
And may I interject there real quick, Mastro?
Go ahead.
What I like about Keith Jones saying that is I feel like he's going to be a good voice from ownership to the fans.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be like, oh, great, here comes Chuck Fletcher again. No. Like, no, this is Keith Jones. I think it's going to come with a little bit more merit.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, again, like, it's hard to say, like, if you're someone saying, oh, Keith Jones doesn't know what he's doing, then you're wrong, because he's been in the broadcasting role for so long now, where he's seen this team, and he's seen the NHL from literally every angle, whether it's cameras or above the ice, anything like that. I mean, he's been around the game for so long in such an in-depth role, where it's like, he's been immersed in it all for so long now that he knows all of it. So I think, again, like, and he will be, you know, quote unquote, maybe like a man of the people, where even just locally here in Philadelphia, he was on WIP for a lot of the morning shows, him and Al Morganti. Like, and he's a funny guy, it seems like. So, I mean, he's also a guy who doesn't seem, again, like, excuse my language, but like, doesn't play any shit. He'll tell you how it is, and I think maybe, like you said, Dave, he'll do that with the fans, and he'll do that within the organization, where if something's not going right or something's going wrong, you know, he'll give a pat on the back or a boot in the ass.
And one of the best Chicklets interviews ever.
Yeah, yep. So I think, like, you know, the overall feeling that I get from this is, like, they mean business, there's, like you said, there's finally a there's finally a goddamn plan. They should put that on a billboard.
We have a goddamn plan.
Yeah. Yep.
A new era of orange. You see that? That's what we're doing.
Instead of that, instead of like the old back with a vengeance or like orange crush, just put on a t-shirt, we have a goddamn plan.
If we get even more colorful, we finally have a fucking plan, but you spell fucking with PH to be really Philly. And or you can drop any more F-bombs after that.
You can make it more family-friendly, but also with the innuendo pucking plan.
Yes, yes.
There we go. But, no, I mean, again, I think, like, even though these two guys are former Flyers, they're former Flyers that have gone outside of the organization, but also, you know, still had their finger on the pulse of the organization. Or, like you said, Briere was the main Mariners GM. Jonesy has been, you know, on the radio, on TV. Like, so, I mean, he's not playing, but again, they're still both immersed in what Flyers hockey is, and they've made their way back, so to speak. So I think this has come, you know, it's full circle for someone to be a player in the league, to be a media member or a coach elsewhere, but then to find your way back, quote unquote, home to like your organization, like the Flyers. That's the kind of the ultimate goal. So I think, again, like with the mission that they are on here and the mission that they want to accomplish, i.e. hopefully a Stanley Cup.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice.
You know, again, there's fear with starting anew, but sometimes it's what you have to do. I mean, you're left with no other choice at this point as the Flyers. But you know, I think, again, it's way past due that the new era of orange has dawned upon us. And, you know, it feels good to just finally see, you know, like the sun, that little sliver of like sun rising on the dawn. I don't know.
It'll be nice for some new uniforms, too.
Yeah. And I've seen, I don't know how credible it was, but a tweet from one of the Jersey people on Twitter where they might debut the new orange home jersey at the draft.
Yeah, they probably will.
So keep an eye out for that. Maybe a jersey watch for our own Philadelphia Flyers here. Hopefully they aren't as boring as the Stadium Series ones.
That'd be nice. But all signs point to they've already reverted back to the shade of orange that the team wore when Lindros first broke into the league.
Yeah.
So they're already headed down the correct path there.
Yeah, and I'm already very confident in this new team, but I think if Jones or Briere would have came out and dropped the line from The Dark Knight from Harvey Dent, where he was like, "The night is darkest before the dawn, but I promise you, the dawn is coming." I would have been like, "I'm buying every player's jersey on this team. I will buy season tickets. I will like paint myself orange. Like I'm like I would literally be all I'll be all in. Like
God damn it, I'm back in."
Yeah, like just when I thought I had like just when I was about to leave, they bring me back in. Or it's like Dumb and Dumber. Just when I think you can't get any more stupid, you go and do something absolutely brilliant or something like that. And totally redeem yourself. That's what it is. But no, I mean it's just exciting, and you know it's something that we've been waiting for a long, long time. And yes, you know, I mean, I think that the fans again are, you know, you're fed up, you're tired, you're weary. There's a lot of negative, but they should, I think fans should embrace this new regime and embrace the fact that, you know, Jonesy and Briere can put this team back on the map, not just in Philadelphia, but most importantly, you know, in the NHL.
Can't confirm.
And thus ends my soliloquy of the Flyers management. And
much better than mine, must say.
Oh, that's all right.
I was stumbling for words.
But Dave, with that, you know, that takes care of our Flyers coverage, short and sweet for this week, because obviously there's not much else going on. But with that, we will move on to our conference final previews and, you know, wrap up the second round here. I'll go through everything quickly, and then I'll just, you know, name a series, and you know, you give your take as usual. So we'll start with the East here. Out of the East, we have the Florida Panthers just crushing the dreams of every Toronto Maple Leafs fan in five games in overtime. I mean, yikes. The Maple Leafs are just going to continue to Maple Leaf, as they say. And they, you know, they make it out of the first round for the first time in almost 20 years, and they just about get swept in the second round. So thanks for coming, Toronto, but, you know, we'll see you next year, and you probably won't look the same as you did this year, because that organization also needs to change. But I digress from that.
Explode it.
Yeah. I digress from that, like I said. And we have the Florida Panthers advancing to the Eastern Conference Final to take on the Carolina Hurricanes, who also ousted their foe, the New Jersey Devils, in the semifinal round.
Thank Christ.
Yep. Also, actually, both teams winning the series in overtime.
In game five.
In game five, yeah. So, you know, carbon copies of each other, so to speak. But, you know, in the East, again, we have the conference finals set for game one tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on TNT in Carolina with the Hurricanes against the Florida Panthers. Dave, your thoughts on both these teams, this matchup, and who you think will come out of the Eastern Conference?
When looking at both of these teams right now, these literally are the two best hockey playing teams. Like, if you examined all the teams out of Eastern Conference, these would be the two teams you'd say, oh yeah, they've looked the best. And it pains me to say this because I hate the organization so much, but I'm giving props to the Florida Panthers. I did not see them being the Boston Bruins. I did not see them being the Toronto Maple Leafs. But yet, here they are. They took care of Boston in seven. They took care of the Maple Leafs in five and embarrassed the Maple Leafs. Like, full-on embarrassed them. They are riding that wave. They're reminding me a lot of, like, the 2012 LA Kings and the 2019 St. Louis Blues. A team that was in last place at a good point in the season where usually you don't make the playoffs. They go on a heater, they get in, and now they're just kind of ripping through. So, and then Carolina Hurricanes, you know, they won the Metropolitan Division. They took care of the Islanders in six. They took care of the Devils in five. They're playing nice, tidy Carolina Rod Brindamore-style ice hockey. Some questionable goaltending from Antti Raanta and Frederik Andersen, but overall their defense and depth have led them to victory. They've been the better team, and they've beaten the inferior team in both series. And now you're getting kind of a Goliath on Goliath matchup right now in the Eastern Conference Final. And when I compare these two rosters, I just think, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but with the Carolina Hurricanes missing Evgeny Svechnikov and Tara Vinen still being a questionable return for this series, I think the Florida Panthers have the more skill overall, and they have the hotter goaltender. Sergei Bobrovsky right now is reminding everyone why the Flyers signed him out of Russia undrafted, and why he won two Veznas with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and why he got a $10 million contract from the Florida Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this series goes five games, but I think Florida gets the job done in six. I have just come to accept that, you know what, I cannot, even though I dislike the franchise so much, and I think they're a joke of an organization, they don't have a legitimate fan base whatsoever, they're a damn good hockey team right now. And the way they're just rolling, the way Tkachuk is playing, Barkov, Brendan Montour, and Sergei Bobrovsky, I think they get the job done over the Carolina Hurricanes. And I'm tired of picking against them, because you know what? I picked against them, and they proved me wrong every time. So you know what, Florida? Don't disappoint me now. You have my support. But at the end of the day, also, if by picking them to win the series and they lose, it's still a win-win for me. Even though I will be losing in Brenna and I's bracket challenge because Brenna picked the Hurricanes to win, I will personally won because I won't have to watch the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. But, alas, officially on the pod and on my bracket, Florida in six. Not a fan of it, but it is what it is.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Florida, you know, I mean, I think has been the team of destiny here in the playoffs, whether it's East or West. They took down the Goliath Boston Bruins in the first round in a miraculous fashion, pretty much. They ousted the Toronto Maple Leafs after everyone was like, you know, the Leafs finally made it out of the first round. Maybe it was a springboard that they needed, but Florida was right there to, you know, cut the springs on that springboard and say, nope.
Toronto just looked gassed in their series. They looked like they had, like they were just done.
Yep. They have problems of their own, but
a lot of problems.
Yeah. Florida, I mean, again, has just been firing on all cylinders here. They've been, you know, I think that's the mentality. It's honestly a mentality that you want in the playoffs where, you know, they've been counted out since the beginning when they were against the Bruins. And then everyone thought, oh, the Leafs are going to, like, it's like you almost kind of, they're not even really playing the villain. They're just, again, they're that team of destiny here. And to have this run after the disappointing run last season when they did win the President's Trophy and they got swept in the second round, to make it, you know, one step further in strong fashion, you know, outdueling a team like the Maple Leafs and pretty easily handling them in five games, it speaks volumes. But then on the other side, again, you have Carolina who, you know, they took down the Islanders in six games, take down the Devils in five, and the Devils were, you know, projected to go kind of far as well. So I think this is going to be a slugfest, and you know it's tough for me to say off the bat here, but I don't know. It's tough. I think
go with your gut. What does your gut tell you?
I think my gut tells me that the Panthers are going to take it in seven. I don't think Carolina goes down that easily. Carolina hasn't been in it. Have they been to the Cup final since 2006?
No, they have not.
So, I mean,
Florida hasn't been back to the Cup final since they made it there in 96.
Yeah, so this is
lost to the Avalanche.
Yeah, I won't say unfamiliar, but, you know, unusual territory for these two teams over the past couple decades here. So, it's going to be interesting to say the least, but I think, again, these are two teams that deserve to be here. Obviously, in the conference final, you want to see the best of the best, so to speak, aside from the Stanley Cup final. But I think Florida is going to take this in seven and continue their, you know, their magical run here. So, but again, game one tomorrow night, Thursday, 8:00 on TNT. And then from there, we go out west to the Western Conference Final, which is slated to get underway on Friday night at 8:30 on ESPN. We have the Vegas Golden Knights taking on the Dallas Stars. Back to the second round with Dallas taking down the Seattle Kraken in seven games. A game seven for the ages, honestly. That was a great game seven, a very tight game, a very, you know, well-earned win for the Stars there after Seattle has been shocking the world the past couple of rounds. I believe that game seven was also the only game in that series that it didn't take more than five goals for a team to win a game.
Yeah.
Because I mean it was 2-1 Dallas. Seattle got a late goal. They came pretty close to tying it with a good faceoff win with about 10 seconds left in the game. Didn't get anything past Jake Oettinger, but Seattle, great run for a relatively this is their second season. So I mean, hell of a run for a second season. Obviously, tough to compare to the Golden Knights when they went to the Cup final their inaugural year. But for an expansion team that no one thought much of anything about, then, you know, they did a hell of a job. So kudos to them. But again, Dallas, you know, the better team there. And then on the other side, Vegas taking down the Edmonton Oilers in six games in the semifinal. I think it's a little disappointing. Once again, you know, the Oilers making the conference final last season, but then also getting swept by Colorado in the conference final. So I think it's just another disappointment to see guys like McDavid and Draisaitl especially, you know, have great playoffs again, and they fall short once again. And, you know, Edmonton's also got their problems. So I think, you know, it's back to the drawing board for them. But again, Vegas, you know, they've been doing things right as the number one seed in the Pacific coming into the conference final. So I think I will say the West has been by far the more physical of the conferences this playoffs, mm-hmm. where these teams have literally been, and again, excuse my language, beating the shit out of each other each and every game. I mean, it's been that whole, you know, fight for every inch, take the body, like follow through with your hits, all that type of stuff. Where, I mean, the West in this playoffs have been crazy physical. It's been the Wild West where, you know, anything goes. There's slashes, hits, fights, everything you could want from a hockey game, you know, physically has been there. So I think that, and that's going to be the same, I think, for this series where, you know, even Vegas and Edmonton just hated each other. And I think that Vegas and Dallas are going to hate each other too. So I think that I'll give my prediction here first, Dave, though. I mean, I think Jake Oettinger is going to be a huge factor in this series for the Stars. He has been, you know, ever since last season. Vegas, I believe, is Bruce Boisson still hurt?
Brassois still hurt, so they're going with Aiden Hill.
Yeah. So, I mean, goaltending, I think I'm definitely giving the advantage to Dallas. But, I mean, both teams, again, I have, you know, they have experience in the playoffs. They have the veteran leadership. You have Jack Eichel, who's in his first postseason of his career, which is still weird to say. Vegas also got Mark Stone back. So it's like everything's, you know, been going right for them, so to speak. And everything's been going right for Dallas as well, where they've taken down, you know, they scratched and clawed their way toward past the Wild, no pun intended, in the first round. They get the Kraken to go down in seven games. So, I mean, again, both these teams have earned their spot in the conference final, but I think, and then this is bold. I think Dallas wins this series in seven games. I think it's going to go seven. I think both these conference finals are going to go seven games, which I'm not going to complain about because it's more hockey, but I think it's going to be a Dallas-Florida Stanley Cup final.
I, too, have the Dallas Stars advancing in seven games in this series and have a Dallas-Florida Cup final. Why I'm picking Dallas over Vegas is I think Dallas is a little bit more mean. I think they're built better for playoff hockey, and I really, really like Jake Oettinger better than I like Aiden Hill and net. And I also like I think Dallas has better depth overall. Like Dallas has Jason Robertson, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, my boy Rupe Hintz. You know, I can keep on going. I mean, Vegas does have Marchessault and Eichel and Mark Stone, etc. But I just think in the long run, I think goaltending and defense will be the outcome and push the winner ahead, and the better team that has those things is Dallas. So Dallas in seven, I'm looking forward to a hell of a series. And even if we're wrong with our predictions, Mastro, and things go where, let's say, we have Vegas, Carolina in the Cup final, you know, or Dallas, Carolina, or Vegas, you know, Florida.
Yeah.
Any matchup in the Cup final out of these four teams is going to be must-watch television if you're a hockey fan.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, it only gets crazier as we get further into these playoffs, and it's already been crazy, you know, seeing these upsets or these disappointments or these highs and lows the teams have gone through. So it only gets better, and, you know, we'll have the Prince of Wales Trophy and the Clarence Campbell Trophy. Yes. Yeah.
It's a bowl.
Bowl. Sorry, the Clarence Campbell Bowl.
I'm pretty sure it's a bowl.
But whatever they win, obviously the ultimate goal is the Stanley Cup. And yes. But, you know, I mean, within the next 2 weeks, definitely, we'll have our Stanley Cup final getting underway, I would assume.
But I'm pretty sure, I think game sevens would be next Sunday, the eve of Memorial Day, and there would be one game seven actually on Memorial Day itself. So
Memorial Day.
We'll have a 3-day weekend.
Hell
see
yeah.
See if we can eat two that weekend. Stoked.
There you go. But, yeah, I mean, again, like you said, whoever makes it out alive of this Final Four into the Cup Final, you know, we're in for a treat either way. So, you know, nothing better than playoff hockey, as they say.
Yeah, definitely.
Dave, I think with that, though, that kind of wraps it up here. There was, I guess, a little bit of a housekeeping item that you did allude to earlier, a la the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes.
Some pretty tough news out of Tempe, where earlier today, quote, the future of the Arizona Coyotes is unclear after a public vote went against a proposed Tempe sports and entertainment district that would have kept the team in the East Valley City. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said in a statement, quote, the National Hockey League is terribly disappointed by the results of the public referendum regarding the Coyotes arena project in Tempe. We're going to review with the Coyotes what the options might be going forward. On the ballot were propositions 301, 302, and 303, which would have removed an unlined landfill next to Tempe Town Lake and replaced it with the Sports and Entertainment District. Tempe Mayor Corey Woods said it was the best sports deal in Arizona history, and we're very disappointed that voters did not approve the propositions. Coyotes President and CEO Xavier A. Gutierrez said on Tuesday, yesterday, the Coyotes wish to thank everyone who supported our efforts and voted yes. So many community leaders stepped up and became our advocates, and for that we are truly grateful. We also wish to thank the countless volunteers who worked so hard to try and make the Tempe Entertainment District a reality, and the Tempe City Council for their support as well. While we wanted a different outcome, we remain grateful to all those who volunteered their time and talent. Also, again, what is next for the franchise will be evaluated by our owners and the National Hockey League over the coming weeks. This is not good. I mean, the Coyotes have already had a tumultuous history of moving from, you know, I mean, they're the old actual Winnipeg Jets. And then they moved to, what, I think Scottsdale before this?
They were in Phoenix first.
Phoenix, yeah, you're right.
And then they moved to Scottsdale.
Yep.
Then they didn't pay their bills in Scottsdale and got yeeted out of Scottsdale. And now is why they're... Yeah, then they went to... No, they didn't pay the bills in Glendale, right. Scottsdale,
yeah.
They did pay their bills. It was Glendale.
Yeah.
They didn't pay their bills. And that's why they're playing at ASU now in a 4,600 seat stadium, College Arena.
Yeah.
Move the team already.
Yeah, this could obviously, it's gotten ugly at points, but this seems to be a, you know, breaking point where they have to figure out where this team's going to go, because obviously, again, they're only playing in Mullet Arena because of, quote, emergency circumstances. And if they don't have anywhere else to play in the state, then you got to move them out of the state. So it's a bad look for an organization like that, especially as a professional sports organization. But it's just, you know, is it high time that the Yotes get moved? There was also something today where I saw on Twitter where I think it was Clayton Keller's father was saying that, like,
he replied to the actual team's tweet about it.
Yeah. He was saying,
and they got deleted.
His son, Clayton Keller, along with other players, were not going to show up to training camp unless, like, the team gets moved or this thing gets resolved. Like, it's embarrassing where it's like, this is a professional sports organization. You have professional athletes. You have an entire organization of employees where it's like the mismanagement of this all is embarrassing. It's tough to see any franchise go through this, but it's like, again, like you need to do something, as tough as it might be. Something needs to happen so that it can be a more permanent solution to where this team is going to end up and where they're going to have, you know, a long-term home, so to speak, instead of a, like, no professional sports team should be sharing a barn with a college team. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I don't get why Gary Bettman wants to try and force hockey in Arizona when the state and the people in Arizona have said they don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get Arizona, the Coyotes have made some great grassroots, and they've, you know, they produced, you know, Austin Matthews and who's the Maple Leafs young star that just signed from that played at Minnesota. He got hurt by Sam Bennett in this series.
I forget.
He's an American kid.
I'm blanking. Give me a second here. Toronto?
Yeah. Why am I forgetting his name?
Robertson?
No.
Defenseman or forward?
He's a forward.
Not Lafferty.
No.
Matthew Nice? Knees?
Matthew Nice.
Nice, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, he's an Arizona kid and Arizona product because of the Coyotes. So while I get they've... Knees, no, Matthew Nice. Well, they've done great things there. The fans don't go to their games. Never went to their games. The arena... The team was owned by the league for almost half a decade. Like, they got caught punching, trying to cheat at the draft combine. Like, they're just a mess. Like, I don't get why Bettman's fought so hard for the Arizona Coyotes to exist. Like, they're not a thing. They're a joke. They're way more of a Mickey Mouse and clown franchise than the Florida Panthers are. Because, you know, they're legit. I'd call the Panthers that just to be funny, to joke them and throw shit at them. The Coyotes actually are that. I don't think, like, while I personally do think they should get moved and they will get moved, they're not going to go back to Quebec. The NHL is not going to an Eastern market, because if they go to an Eastern market, then they need to move one of Columbus or Detroit back to the Western Conference, and Columbus and Detroit both do not want to do that. So Quebec is not going to happen. So I think if this is happening, you're either looking at a new team in Texas with either Houston or San Antonio. Both cities have hosted American Hockey League teams before, in the Houston Arrows and the San Antonio Rampage. Mm-hmm. Or also, I've heard rumblings today on Twitter that hockey is very popular in Utah. And Salt Lake City is just one state up, a little bit more north, you know? Apparently the owner of the Utah Salt Lake City NBA team is
Utah
also
Jazz.
Yeah, apparently the owner of the Utah Jazz is a hockey fan. So purchases them and moves them to, because then if you move them, I mean, they're in the Central Division regardless. So whether they get moved to Utah or moved to Texas, there's no division realignment, which I think the NHL is going to do.
I believe Utah, or I guess Salt Lake City. I believe Salt Lake City also has an MLS team.
I believe you are correct.
I think it's a real Salt Lake.
Yeah. Yep.
So they have, they have two major league teams.
Yeah. So I mean, it makes sense. If they're going to get moved at all, they're going to get moved either to Utah or to Texas. I personally would love another team in Texas, in Houston or San Antonio, because that's an instant interstate rival with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. But Arizona, stick a fork in them. They're cooked. They're done. The NHL needs to move on from this failed market. I'm sick and tired of having to talk about the goddamn Arizona Coyotes and their struggles. Like, move on. And you know what? To the Arizona Coyote fans who are pissed and upset that this vote didn't pass, well, guess what? Your fan base didn't show up to vote. 65% of the voters who voted on these propositions were 65 years or older, and they voted no. So to all of you young Arizona Coyote fans who are of voting age who didn't vote, this is on you. And this is why you stink as a fan base.
Exercise your right to vote.
Exactly. You don't vote, you can't bitch.
That's true. Dark times in the desert, and, you know, we see if they get better or we see if they move. But
you can keep the freaking name, because guess what? Coyotes are, like, native almost in every freaking state in the United States of America. They have them in Utah, and they definitely have them in Texas. So you don't even need to rebrand if you want. You can just sort of just say it's now the San Antonio Coyotes.
I don't know. Salt Lake City Coyotes would not sound fun. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for Utah. But for Texas, it does.
Yeah.
But they would probably, if they're moving again, they're getting a rebrand and a team name change.
Yeah, I think they need it at that point.
They just move. Just while the Arizona Coyotes have provided us with some of the best uniforms in the game, that's really the only positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with that being said, you know, that's kind of all we got. And, you know, just another week here at 5 Minute Major. And we're on the eve of the conference finals. And
yes,
the Flyers, you know, it's a dawn of a new era. And
of orange, you might say. Dave. What was that?
That's all I got for this week.
Yeah, that's all I've got, too. So, but with that, thank you again for filling in. It was a great birthday weekend. Glad you were able to celebrate with me and all of our other friends. But with that, everyone, keep on enjoying these playoffs. I hope I'm wrong about the Florida Panthers, but we'll see what happens. Everyone, enjoy your hockey. We will be back next week before the long weekend for Memorial Day. So everyone, enjoy your continued May weather. We'll see you next week. Good night and good hockey.